So in this fourth chapter of Genesis, we have a picture of two religious men. We have a picture of Cain and his brother Abel. Sometimes when you read the story of Cain, you think, you know, Cain is some type of terrible heathen. However, Cain was a very religious man. In fact, Cain grew up in a religious family. Cain grew up in a family that believed in God. And it says that he and his brother both went to sacrifice to God. And so you have these two brothers and they both sacrificed to God. They probably both prayed to God together as well. It says that Abel's sacrifice was respected and Cain's sacrifice was rejected. And so Cain, he brought a sacrifice, but there's no mention to the quality of the type of sacrifice he brought. It was simply a sacrifice that he brought to God. But Abel brought of the best. And it's a picture between this battle that's going on. And if you start witnessing and if you start going out and preaching, you're going to be engaging in this battle as well. It's a battle between the religious and the righteous. Sages even today in Christianity. This battle between the religious and the righteous. And I propose that we have an entire generation of churchgoers of Cain's that they bring their sacrifice to God, they bring their Sunday service to God, their hour once a week to God, and they think God should simply respect that sacrifice. But they come to the house of God and they maybe pray and they worship once a week. And then they go out into the world and they live just like everyone else in the world. They're consumed with entertainment, they're consumed with all the worldly idle follies and vanities of life. But yet their one Sunday service should be acceptable to God. But then Abel comes along, and Abel gives her the best. Abel doesn't merely give what he wants to give. Abel gives what God wants him to give. And that's the difference between the religious and the righteous. And that same battle of Cain versus Abel, the religious versus the righteous, rages even today. And if you start living for God the way you ought to live for God, if you start going out into the world and preaching the gospel, some of your greatest opposers will be those who are within the church, those who are within your own household, those who will pray with you, those who will sacrifice with you, because your righteousness will be a reflection on their corruption. You see, the religious wants to pull down anyone that rises higher than themselves. You see, like a storm starts with just a few drops of rain, but before you know it, that storm, those few drops, is just a downpour. And that's what happens inside the heart of the religious. There's a few drops of jealousy here. There's a few drops of hurt ego there. They start compared to what you're sacrificing to God. Their sacrifice doesn't look so good anymore. And those few drops of jealousy, before you know it, turn into this massive downpour, this murderous storm of hatred. And so I propose that we live in a day in which we have an entire generation of Cain's. And there's a remnant of Abel's. And so we live in a day when there is a generation of Cain's. There is a generation that believes their service to God is simply going to church. And that's good enough. Maybe they go beyond that and they'll have a 5-minute devotion every morning. Or they'll pray a few prayers for, you know, their family and for some money before they go to bed. And that, in their mind, honestly, should be acceptable to God. And so there is this entire generation, churches all over America, that are living this Christianity, this Sunday service Christianity, which God hates, which God rejects. Because God requires more, God expects more. God is worthy of all the obedience we could give him. God is worthy of all the worship and praise we could give him. God is worthy of everything that we could possibly give. And nothing less is satisfactory in the eyes of God.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom.
And so you know what? It doesn't matter what happens to me. It doesn't matter if I go out and the world comes against me and the church comes against me, if my own family, those who are in my own household, come against me. It doesn't matter because I'm going to obey God. And whether I have to pay the ultimate sacrifice like Abel had done, it doesn't matter because I'm not home on this earth. I'm only a pilgrim here, and my home is in heaven, and my Father's in heaven. And there's nothing I would rather do than to be with Him. But He's told me to go into all the world and to preach the gospel, and so here I am, and I'm going to do it.
Restore you and magnify you when they exclude you, falsely accuse you for my name. Rejoice, be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward when men hate you. Leap for joy. Rejoice.
God hates our Sunday service Christianity. That God, it's not that He merely hates it, He despises it. It's appalling to Him. And He reaches out to mankind through us. And so we raise beyond our mere selfish Sunday service Christianity, where we think it's all about us, and it's all about ourselves, and all about us with God and our happiness. We rise beyond that. We obey God, fulfill the Great Commission, warning every man, teaching every man, caring for others before ourselves, considering others more important than ourselves, taking even the least spot, having the worst reputation being spoken of badly by all people. Even if people don't care for us, we care for them. It doesn't matter what man thinks about you. It doesn't matter even what the church thinks about you. It doesn't matter what your friends or your family thinks about you. It doesn't matter even what your children or your wife or your parents. It doesn't matter who in the world is against you. The only thing that should matter is that you're pleasing and acceptable in the eyes of God. You need to simplify your audience. So as you go out with your message of repentance, you go out with your message of living for God, of hating sin, rejecting sin, loving the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, loving your neighbor as yourself, turning from selfishness, picking up your cross. As you go out with that message, understand that you're in the perfect will of God. Walk out, march out boldly in the confidence that you are in the perfect will of God, that you're pleasing to the Father.
Deny yourself and follow me, follow me, follow me. Deny yourself and follow me, follow me.
The essence of sin, the essence of sin is selfishness. The essence of sin is selfishness. You know, if you're living for yourself and the things that you do, why do you work? What do you do with your free time? What, are you just trying to entertain yourself? Are you just living for yourself? You know, you can tell what a man truly values and what a man cares for by the way he spends his free time. You know, like a man, you can tell what he values in life, the way he spends his money. You can tell what he likes, you know, if he's really into sports and he spends his money on sports. He spends his free time about sports. You know what they value, the way they spend their money, the way they spend their free time. The essence of sin is selfishness. The essence of holiness is love. The essence of holiness is love. And so you know within your own heart where you stand, if you're Cain or an Abel. You know in your own heart if you get jealous when you see someone. So examine yourself and see whether you're a Cain or whether you're Abel. Lay down it all and say, I'm going to do the will of God. I'm going to seek and save the lost, because the condition of the world has gotten to an all-time low. The depravity of man is just like the depravity before God destroyed and flooded the whole earth. And that if we don't come through, if we don't stand in the gap, there's no hope.
Follow me, deny yourself, and follow me. Follow me, follow me. I knock at the door of your heart, follow me. I knock at the door of your heart, follow me.
And that if we don't come through, if we don't stand in the gap, there's no hope.